Chapter 9. The Senate historian leaned back in his chair. "I'm sorry, Commander, but we don't have room up here in the Capitol attic to store congressional documents." "I understand," said Heidi. "You specialize in old photographs." Jack Murphy nodded. "Yes, we maintain quite an extensive collection of government-related pictures going back as far as the 1840s. He idly fiddled with a paperweight on the desk. "Have you tried the National Archives? They have a massive storehouse of material." "A wasted effort," Heidi shrugged. "I found nothing that related to my search." "How can I help?" "I'm interested in a treaty between England and America. I thought perhaps a photo might have been taken during the signing." "We carry a wealth of those. The president has yet to be born who didn't call in an artist or a photographer to record a treaty signature." "All I can tell you is that it took place during the first 6 months of 1914. "I can't recall such an event off the top of my head," said Murphy, with a thoughtful look. "I'll be glad to make a search for you. Might take a day or two. I have several research projects ahead of yours." "I understand. Thank you." Murphy hesitated, then stared at her, a quizzical look in his eyes. "It strikes me odd that no mention of an Anglo-American treaty can be found in official archives. Do you have a reference to it?" "I found a letter written by President Wilson to Prime Minister Asquith in which he alludes to a formally signed treaty." Murphy rose from his desk and showed Heidi to the door. "My staff will give it a try, Commander Milligan. If there is a photograph, we'll find it." Heidi sat in her room at the Jefferson Hotel, peering into a cosmetic case mirror at a crow's foot that edged a widened eye. All things considered, she had accepted the merciless encroachment of age and was keeping her youthful-looking face and a body that had yet to see an ounce of fat. In the last 3 years, she had weathered a hysterectomy, a divorce, and a tender May-December affair with an admiral twice her age who recently died from a heart attack. Yet she still looked as vibrant and alive as when she graduated from Annapolis, 14th in her class. She leaned closer to the mirror and studied a pair of Castilian brown eyes. The right one had a small imperfection at the bottom of the iris, a small pie-shaped splash of gray. Heterochromia iridis was the highfalutin term an ophthalmologist gave her when she was 10 years old, and schoolmates had taunted her about possessing an evil eye. From then on, she reveled in being different, especially later when boys found it appealing. Since the death of Admiral Walter Bass, she had felt no urge to search out and emotionally involve herself with another man. But before she realized what she was doing, the blue uniform was hanging in the closet, and she was standing in the elevator in a bias-cut, coppery-colored slip dress of silk, piped in saffron that plunged devilishly low in back and front, and was dashed with a silk flower at a V far below her breasts. Besides a matching purse, her only other accessory was a long feather and jeweled earring that dangled to her shoulder. For warmth against Washington's bleak winter air, she buried herself in a notch-collared greatcoat of dark brown and black synthetic fox. The doorman sighed at the exhilarating view and opened the door to a cab. "Where to?" asked the driver without turning. The simple question took her by surprise. She had made up her mind to go out on the town. She hadn't planned where. She paused, and then opportunely her stomach growled. "A restaurant," she blurted. "Can you recommend a nice restaurant?"
"What you feel like eating, lady?"
"I'm not sure."
"Steak, Chinese, seafood, you name it."
"Seafood."
"You got it," said the driver, punching the button on the digital meter. "I know just the place. Overlooks the river. Very romantic."
"Just what I need," Heidi laughed. "It sounds perfect." Already the evening was a bust. Sitting by candlelight and sipping wine while watching the Capitol's lights sparkling on the Potomac River, with no one to talk to, only served to deepen her solitude. A woman dining by herself still seemed an odd sight to some people. She caught the discreet stares of the other diners and guessed their thoughts to pass the time. A date who's been stood up? A wife on the make? A hooker taking a dinner break? The latter was her favorite. A man came in and was seated 2 tables behind her.
The restaurant was dimly lit, and all she could tell about him as he passed was that he was tall. She was tempted to turn around and give him an appraising gaze, but could not overcome her inbred standards of modesty. Suddenly she sensed a presence standing at her side, and her nostrils picked up the vague scent of a man's shaving cologne. "I beg your pardon, gorgeous creature," a voice whispered in her ear, "but could you see it in your heart to buy a poor, destitute wino a glass of muscatel?" Startled, she cringed and looked up, her eyes wide. The intruder's face was shadowed and indistinct. Then he came around and sat down opposite her. His hair was thick and black, and the candlelight reflected a pair of warm sea-green eyes. His face was weathered and darkened by the sun. He stared at her as if anticipating a greeting, his features cool and expressionless. And then he smiled, and the whole room seemed to brighten. "Why, Heidi Milligan, can it be you don't remember me?" She trembled as a tide of recognition swept over her.
"Pitt! Oh, my God, Dirk Pitt!"
Impulsively, she placed her hands on his temples and pulled him toward her until their lips touched. Pitt's eyes took on a bemused look, and when Heidi released him, he sat back and shook his head. "Amazing how a man can misjudge a woman. All I expected was a handshake." A blush tinted Heidi's cheeks.
"You caught me in a weak moment. I was sitting here feeling sorry for myself, and when I saw a friend, well, I guess I got carried away."
He held her hands in a gentle grip, and the smile faded. "I was saddened to hear of Admiral Bass's passing. He was a good man." Her eyes grew dark.
"The end was painless. After he went into a coma, he just slipped away.
God only knows how the Vixen affair might have turned out if he hadn't volunteered his services.
Remember when we met?"
"I came to interview the Admiral at his inn near Lexington, Virginia, where he retired."
"And I thought you were some government official who wanted to badger him. I treated you dreadfully."
Pitt paused and stared at her. "You two were very close." She nodded. "We lived together for nearly 18 months. He came from the old school, but he wouldn't consider marriage. Said it was stupid for a young woman to tie herself to a man with one foot in the grave." Pitt could see the tears beginning to form, and he quickly changed the subject. "If you don't mind my saying, you're the image of a high school girl on her first prom date."
"The perfect compliment at the perfect moment."
Heidi straightened and peered around the tables.
"I don't mean to take you away from anything. You're probably meeting someone."
"No, I'm Stag." He smiled with his eyes. "I'm between projects and decided to relax with a quiet supper."
"I'm glad we met," she said shyly.
"You have but to give the command, and I'm your slave till dawn." She looked at him, and the sights and sounds of the dining room faded into the background. She stared demurely down at the table setting.
"I'd like that very much."
When they entered Heidi's hotel room, Pitt tenderly picked her up and carried her to the bed.
"Do not move," he said. "I'll do everything."
He began to undress her very slowly. She couldn't remember ever having a man undress her so completely, from her earrings to her shoes. He made as little contact with his fingers as possible, and the anticipation mushroomed inside her to an exquisite agony. Pitt was not to be hurried. She wondered how many other women he had sweetly tortured like this. The passion began to reflect in Pitt's depthless eyes, and it excited her to an even higher level. Suddenly his lips came down onto hers. They were warm and moist. She responded as his arms tightened around her hips and pulled her to him. She seemed to dissolve, and a moan escaped her throat. Just when the blood felt as though it would burst inside, and her muscles pulsated uncontrollably, she opened her mouth to scream. It was then Pitt penetrated her, and she came and came in a sweeping rage of pleasure that never seemed to end.